Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Robert Levine's A Geography of Time. Sophie, I have to ask, have you ever been in a place where time just felt different?
Oh, absolutely. I remember being in Italy and just being struck by how nobody seemed to be in a hurry. And then I come back to New York, and everyone's speedwalking while staring at their phones. So this book really resonated with me.
Right? And Levine's whole point is that time isn't this universal constant we all think it is. It's actually a cultural construct, a silent language that shapes everything about how we live.
Exactly. He spent decades traveling the world, measuring what he calls the pace of life in different countries, and he found some pretty wild patterns.
Okay, so how do you even measure something like that? I mean, you can't just walk into a city and say, yep, this place feels fast.
Well, he came up with three indicators. First, the average walking speed of pedestrians on main streets. Second, how quickly postal clerks could complete a simple transaction. And third, the accuracy of public clocks.
That's genius. And what did he find?
He found a clear hierarchy. Japan and Switzerland were at the top, super fast. Then Western European countries. And the United States landed somewhere in the middle, which surprised me.
Huh. And the slowest places were in Latin America, the Middle East, and parts of Asia. Makes sense, I guess, but it's still pretty striking.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The faster the pace of life, the higher the rate of heart disease. The cities where people walked fastest and clocks were most accurate also had the most coronary heart disease.
Wait, so the fast life can actually shorten your life? That's a brutal irony.
It's the chronic stress. The constant sense of urgency, of being behind, it takes a physical toll. Your body is in a perpetual fight or flight mode.
So what makes some cultures so much faster than others?
Levine identified a few key factors. The biggest one is economic vitality. In wealthy, industrialized nations, time really is money. Every minute not spent producing is a minute wasted.
Right. So punctuality becomes a moral virtue. Being late isn't just rude, it's financially irresponsible.
Exactly. And then there's population density. Crowded cities like Tokyo or New York force everyone to move faster just to function. You can't dawdle on a crowded sidewalk.
That's true. It's like the sheer pressure of numbers accelerates everything.
And that leads to the most profound distinction Levine makes, clock time versus event time.
Okay, I love this. Clock time is the linear, abstract system. An hour is always an hour, no matter what's happening in it.
Right.
And event time is dictated by the flow of events themselves. A meeting ends when the business is done, not when the clock says so. A party lasts until people feel like leaving.
And that's not laziness or inefficiency. It's a whole different philosophy that prioritizes human connection over arbitrary schedules.
Exactly. Levine tells this great story about being in Brazil and going to meet a professor. But the professor was unavailable because he was deep in conversation with a student.
In America, that would be a huge insult. You'd be like, I had an appointment.
But in Brazil, it was a sign of respect for the human interaction. The professor wasn't wasting time. He was honoring the event. That was a liberating moment for Levine.
You bet. And it makes you realize that our own obsession with speed is a choice, not a natural law.
Levine calls the American relationship with time a national neurosis. We're obsessed with efficiency and productivity, yet we feel more time-pressed than people in slower countries.
That's the paradox, right? We invented all these time-saving devices, microwaves, the internet, and yet we feel like we have less time than ever.
Yeah, the treadmill keeps speeding up, and we're too busy running to step off.
And that obsession with speed comes at a cost. It erodes relationships. A hurried conversation is rarely a deep one. A quick meal is rarely a shared one.
Right.
We're trading depth for speed, and we don't even realize we're making the trade.
The book also gets into how different cultures handle waiting. In some places, waiting is just a neutral part of life. A chance to reflect or chat with a stranger. In others, it's an insult.
Exactly. How long you're expected to wait and how you react to being kept waiting says a lot about social hierarchy and how much you value someone's time.
So what's the takeaway? Are we supposed to all become slow and stop using clocks?
No, Levine isn't saying that. He recognizes the benefits of a fast-paced economy, modern medicine, global communication, all that good stuff. The problem is our blind devotion to speed.
So the real takeaway is awareness, realizing that our experience of time is a choice. We can ask ourselves, is this rush making me happier? Is my punctuality improving my relationships?
And Levine offers a prescription for balance. He suggests we can learn to be more flexible with schedules, prioritize people over plans, and carve out sacred spaces of slow time.
Like turning off your phone for an hour or taking a walk without a destination. Just letting a conversation run its course without glancing at your watch.
It's a conscious deceleration, a rebellion against the tyranny of the clock.
I love that phrase, the tyranny of the clock. And honestly, this book is really about freedom. The freedom to see that our frantic pace isn't inevitable.
Absolutely. By mapping how different cultures experience time, Levine gives us the tools to choose a different rhythm, one that honors our need for rest, connection, and reflection.
The thing I'm taking away is that we all have the same number of hours, but the quality of those hours is up to us. It's not about finding more time. It's about inhabiting the time we have.
And if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app. You can read or listen to over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. This book reminds us that time is a canvas, and we're the painters. We can choose the colors, the pace, the rhythm. So let's make it a masterpiece. We'll see you in the next one.